Voices Radio Network.
Franco is pretty smart, but Franco is a child. And when it comes to the day of the contest, I'm his father. He comes to me for advices. So it's not that hard for me to give him the wrong advices.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome back to Advices Radio. This is episode 106. Today we have John Hansen. It's going to be John Hansen story time. He's going to tell us stories about training partners that he's had in his life that were quite memorable. These are good stories. I really enjoyed hearing John tell these tales, and I'm sure you guys will too. This program is brought to you by TrueNutrition.com. High-quality supplements, tons of variety throughout the different types of flavors and products that they have, a lot of different proteins in itself, plus health supplements, fat burners, and a whole lot more. You can use our code ADVICES. That helps to support what we are doing here at the network, and it also will get you a discount. So definitely check out our sponsor, TrueNutrition.com, and that's a way that you can support the Advices Radio Network. Guys, stay tuned this Friday. We're going to be recording an episode of the Swole Trinity, and Paul Carter, Alan Aragon, and Dr. Scott Stevenson will be joined by Brad Schoenfeld. So promises to be an interesting episode. That will be, like I said, Facebook Live. I believe it will be at 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. So stay tuned. All right, guys, let's get to John Hansen. Guys, if you want to hear more from John, you can reach out to him at his websites, naturalolympia.com, dadbodtorippedbod.com, and that's the number two, dadbodtorippedbod.com, and that's where he does his training. And you can go to bodybuildinglegendsshow.com. That's his podcast. You can also find Bodybuilding Legends on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Guys, John has been involved in bodybuilding since the time he was a kid, and he's somebody that genuinely loves the sport. It comes through in everything he does. This is going to be a really fast 25-30 minute episode, so I hope you enjoy it. We'll be back this week with Drugs and Stuff Dave Crossland. He had gone to visit the biggest marijuana farm that's legally operating in the UK, and later then we are also going to have an episode of Muscle Minds with Dr. Scott Stevenson. And like I said, if you want to stay tuned, we're recording the Swole Trinity at 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time over at the Advices Radio Facebook page. All right, guys, here's John Hansen. All right, guys, welcome back to Advices Radio. Back with us is John Hansen, and today we are working on a project about training partners. I've been wanting to talk to the guys that have been around the gym and it's found it to be something that they've fallen in love with. They've lived their entire lives with it. You know, we talk a lot about the weights. We talk about the training, the nutrition, the supplementation. And something we haven't talked a lot about is training partners. So I wanted to get some guys on. I thought, John, you are such a good storyteller. You know, I've read your books. You know, I listen to you every week on the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. And I hear everybody that tells stories on there. I want to hear one of your stories today, though. So, John, first of all, welcome to the show. I appreciate you being here.
Thank you, Scott. Good to be here with you.
Man, I have been enjoying Bodybuilding Legends, by the way, every week. Who's out this week?
We got Jerry Branum again, one of my favorite guests. And we're talking about the year 1977.
Nice.
Which was a really pivotal year for bodybuilding, especially with as far as it was received by the social media, or not social media, by the general public, I should say.
Yeah.
Because that was the year that Pumping Iron came out. Arnold came out with his first book, Education of a Bodybuilder. Frank Zane won his first Mr. Olympia that year. They had the Mr. America contest in California, and they had a big parade right before the contest. So it was a really crazy year, and it got a lot of publicity. It was also the year, I think, no, I'm sorry, that was 76 when Arnold and Zane posed at the Whitney Museum.
Oh, yeah.
But I think with Pumping Iron coming out and then Arnold's book coming out, Arnold was doing a lot of talk shows, and bodybuilding really got a lot of publicity that year.
That's cool. And that really, I mean, that we could probably say that that's what pushed it into the mainstream, kind of made it into what it was through the 80s and then all the huge gyms in the 90s and led us to where we are today, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it was also the year that I started bodybuilding. So
no kidding.
It was special for me too. Yeah.
No, so you started in 77. What were the gyms like back then compared to now?
Wow. Well, when I first started, I actually trained at home for a couple of years because I didn't have a driver's license. So I didn't, but there was, I could tell you there wasn't many gyms around. There was the Chicago Health Club, which was the carpet with the mirrors and the chrome weights. And that was like a real fancy health club where people really didn't work out too seriously. I don't even know if they had many free weights there at all. And then you had the smaller hardcore gyms, which there weren't too many of them. I remember like the closest gym to me was like 8 miles away.
Okay.
So it was kind of far away. You know, there weren't too many, like nothing like today, you know, and they were all smaller gyms, hardcore, mostly the guys, carpet torn up, things like that, you know, stuff like that. So it was really, really a hard atmosphere, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool, man. It used to be more of an intimidating thing, I think, if you weren't part of gym culture to walk into a place like that versus today they've kind of made it the opposite where if you're hardcore, they almost don't want you to walk into a lot of these places, you know?
Yeah. I remember one of the first gyms I went to was a real hardcore gym, and a lot of kids would train at home for a couple of years just so they had a physique before they walked into the gym.
That's the way I felt when I first started training. I wanted to at least like know what I was doing a little bit before I showed up. So,
yeah. And people weren't nice to you either. Like if you were a young kid and you walked in there and you weren't training hard or you didn't know what you're doing, they're like, get out of my way, kid. You know, nobody mentored you. Nobody helped you out.
Somebody said to me that it's like, if you didn't train hard, you basically, you'd get yourself kicked out basically. Like you would not feel welcome there if you weren't like part of what everybody was doing, you know, which was real hardcore weightlifting.
So
I asked you to think about one of your favorite stories of a training partner. Who is this person, first of all, that you're bringing to the table today?
His name was Rich, and it was actually the first gym I ever went to. And, you know, it wasn't really even like a real gym. These guys, it was like four guys. I don't know if they built this building or what, but it was this guy's house, his parents' house, actually. And at the end of the driveway, they had the garage. And behind the garage, there was another building that was almost like the same dimensions as the garage.
Okay.
So I don't know if they had this building there or they said built this building or whatever, but they had their own little homemade gym in there.
Yeah.
And so it was $10 a month and you got a key so you could go whenever you wanted. You could just, you know, train whenever you wanted to train. And it was mostly homemade equipment. They had pipes and stuff for like the push downs. They did have a vertical leg press. They had a leg extension, leg curl, squat racks, benches, very small. And so when I first joined there, I was 16 years old. I just graduated as my sophomore year in high school and I had my driver's license. So I went up there and I trained with this one guy, Tim, for a while. He was a nice guy. And then at the end of that summer, he had just graduated high school. He was a couple years older than me. He got a job doing construction or something, so he wasn't able to work out anymore.
Yeah.
So one of the owners, one of the original owners, there was four owners. One of them was this guy named Rich. He didn't live at the house. The guy who lived there was named Jay. It was called Jay's Body Shop. So Rich was like the only one that really worked out. The other guys really didn't work out that seriously once in a while. Rich was nuts. He was like 4 years older than me. And he was kind of bulky, not a bodybuilder. He had, you know, kind of a gut, big arm.
Did you say 40 years older than you?
No, four.
Four years. Okay. So he's not, so he's about 20. Okay.
About 20. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he trained really hard. And when I told him I wanted to work out with him, I think he took it as a challenge that, all right, I'm going to crush this 16-year-old kid. So it was like being in the military. I've never been in the military, but this guy was like a Marine Corps sergeant. You know, he was in my face screaming at me. We were the only ones in the gym, thank God, because somebody would have called the cops or the mental institution if they would have saw what this guy was doing.
Oh, my God.
He was freaking nuts.
Yeah.
And that was like, I got to give him credit. I still remember that guy. I mean, I trained with him for maybe 6 months, but he's the one that taught me how to train hard.
Damn.
And I believe now, after looking back at this, I think when you try to push yourself in anything you do physically, I think your brain kind of protects you and it holds your body back. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay.
And in order to break that barrier, you just got to like, you just got to push through that. You got to train like no matter what happens. I don't care if my knee rips off or I throw up or whatever. I'm going to push it to that limit. Yeah. And that's what this guy taught me how to do. I remember when we did legs, we would do full squats and we supersetted it with leg press, the vertical leg press. They didn't have the angled leg press back then. This was in the 70s. So the angled leg press wasn't invented yet.
Okay.
So this vertical leg press was really small. The platform was real small. You couldn't put a 45 on there because there was two bars that went up where you put the plates on, where you loaded the plates. So they were so close together, if a 45, they would hit each other. So you had to put a 25. So in order to put enough weight on there, you had this huge stack of 25s, you know, and two stacks. So you'd get under the machine and look, there'd be this long stack of 25s. So in order to get in there, there was no catch. So you had to pull your legs in and cram them into your armpits, your knees in your armpits, in order just to get in there.
Yeah.
So everybody like would push their legs up, their knees up, just to get it started. Rich wouldn't let me do that. He goes, really? Just push it up. He goes, don't use your hand. Don't use your hand. So I had to go all the way down, all the way down. If I was like an inch from the bottom, he'd be like, you're a pussy. You're a pussy. He'd just scream at me. And as soon as I got done with that, I'd have to run over to the squat rack and squat. And then we'd increase the weight every set, every set, every set. God. And we did that with every body part. And we would always throw up on legs.
No
we'd
kidding.
Run outside and I'd have to throw up in the grass. And sometimes he would throw up in the grass too. So, but he was nuts, man. He was certifiably insane. And he wasn't like, oh, good job, kid, or nothing. He just wanted to destroy me. But I wanted to be a bodybuilder so bad. I don't think he ever trained with anybody like me. You know, I just kept going. I mean, that was heaven to me. I love training like that.
So, and I kind of interrupted you when I was asking his age, but you said he didn't look like he wasn't like a bodybuilder himself. He wasn't in great shape.
Well, he was bulky, you know, but he just didn't diet. He had a little bit of a gut, but he had big arms. He had big chest.
Okay.
And he believed in all the basics, man. We did all basic stuff, you know, bent over rows, bench presses, squats. The leg workouts were brutal, which is good for me because when I started training at home, I didn't hardly do any leg workouts for the first 2 years. It was almost all upper body because I didn't have squat racks at home. You know, I tried to do hack squats holding the bar behind my legs, you know, but it didn't work out. So I had pretty skinny legs. So then when I trained with him, man, we trained like animals. He was crazy.
And what kind of progress did you see out of that?
Well, you know what? I didn't grow as hard as we were training. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think we were training too hard.
Yeah.
And we were training 6 days in a row. And I remember he was the first guy that I trained with where we decided we were going to train 3 days on, 1 day off. And I remember we had this big debate about it. We were talking about it for hours, like, I don't know, man. I think we're going to get smaller if we don't go 6 days in a row, you know? And then we finally ended up taking that 3 days on, 1 day off. And man, that helped so much. I think my arms grew like half an inch.
No kidding.
In a couple months. Yeah, because that recuperation, we needed it because we were training too hard, you know?
Yeah.
It was more of a mental, he was trying to mentally break me down. And, it was unbelievable. I mean, from that point on though, I knew how to train hard. I knew like when I did a set, I could just basically I equated it to like shutting a switch off.
Yeah.
You know, you shut that switch off and you just go for it and you just train as hard as you can. No matter what happens, you just push, 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 push. There's no limitations. You don't stop. You know, and like I said, full range of motion on everything. He would scream at me, you're a pussy. You're a pussy. If you use your hands to push your legs up, you're a pussy. You know, just screaming at me. He was nuts, man. He was crazy.
It sounds like it completely. Whatever happened to him?
I don't know. I kind of lost touch with him. I don't know whatever happened to him. I don't know what happened to any of those guys. I don't really see him. Because I think the next year when I turned 17, that's when I went to my first real gym.
You know,
and that was called Sports Gym. And that had like, you know, it was a much bigger gym. It was like an established gym. This was just like some of these guys built behind their garage. So,
yeah. So, since we've got the time here, do you have another story that you could tell us that you can think of offhand? Somebody else that you trained with that was memorable?
Yeah, I would say the other guy was John Gust, and John was a big name in Chicago. He was 3 years older than me.
Okay.
So when I started competing in the teenage shows, I was 16. He was 19. So he was winning a lot of the teenage shows. So John's physique, he had, he was about my height, but he had a big frame. He had wide shoulders. He had a real big rib cage. And he had really good abs, like rock hard abs. But he had long legs. His legs were kind of, they didn't look that big. They looked kind of skinny. This is as a teenager.
Yeah.
His arms looked kind of skinny because he had such a big frame. He had a huge wide back, big rib cage, and his legs and his arms didn't look as big.
Yeah.
And he was kind of nerdy looking. He had glasses. So anyways, when John graduated, when he stopped competing as a teenager, he went away to college. I think he went away to Eastern Illinois University, and he got really big. He bulked up. He was up to like 250. So when he came back to our gym after he graduated college, he was a monster, man. This guy could squat six plates on each side, and he would go outside the squat rack. You know, they had the squat rack with the safety bars.
Right.
He would walk outside the squat rack, and I'm talking all the way down. His ass would hit his calves.
Damn.
And he would do like six to eight reps. It was just amazing. When I was younger and watching that, I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah.
And his legs, like, he didn't have like genetics like Jay Cutler. He didn't have those wide quads. His quads were kind of narrow, but he just worked them so freaking hard. They just grew. They were huge, especially from the side. His legs were huge, and he had a great back. So he went on. He won everything. He won Mr. Illinois, Mr. Midwest, Mr. Central USA overall. And there was a lot of good bodybuilders back then in Illinois and in the Midwest that were competing.
Yeah.
So that's how this guy transformed his physique. So in 1986, I was getting ready to compete in the MPC Illinois State. Now, I had taken third place the year before when I was 22, and I had never won an overall bodybuilding title in my life. I had entered 10 teenage contests, and I never won an overall because I was natural and a lot of those guys weren't, you know.
Okay.
So now I'm getting ready to go into – so then my first show was when I got out of the teenage, I went into the MPC Illinois State Bodybuilding Championships. I took third place as a heavyweight, and I said, this is it, man. Next year I got to win this thing. So it was like life or death. I trained all year with this attitude, like I have to win. I'm going to die of a heart attack if they call anybody else – on stage first, you know.
Yeah.
I have to win this thing. So I was training with this guy named Dave, and Dave was a couple years older than me, kind of bulky guy, good bodybuilder, and his diet was terrible, man. Dave used to eat, like, he'd be eating Big Macs in the gym before we trained, you know. He hated dieting. Great body. He had a really good body, but just hated dieting. So anyways, he loved bodybuilding and he loved training. He'd always be waiting for me in the gym every time I go there. So then I come to the gym one day and I'm getting ready for the contest, you know, and he's not there. And I'm like, fuck, where's Dave at? His wife comes into the gym and he goes, John, Dave had a major heart attack last night.
Oh, no kidding.
Like, no shit. So I don't know if his diet or just naturally high cholesterol or whatever. He was using steroids, but I think it was something genetic or maybe just the diet or whatever.
Yeah.
So now I didn't have a partner. And Gus was in the gym, and Gus was on the fence. He had competed in the 84 AAU America. He took fifth place in the medium class. I think he was kind of disappointed. And after that, he sort of lost his drive for bodybuilding.
Mm.
And he wasn't sure. He was training heavy in the gym again, but he wasn't sure if he was going to compete anymore. He was on the fence.
Okay.
So I told him I needed a partner. So this is just as I started my diet and I was getting into that pre-contest phase. So we started training together. And John pushed me so hard, man. Like, especially legs. Like, I had gotten up to 500 pounds on squats that year where I was doing, like, five or six reps, which for me was a tremendous achievement because squatting is not a good movement for me. I got just kind of longer legs.
Okay.
And in the off season, I was able to get, like, 5 to 6 reps on the squat with 500 pounds for my workouts. So I start training with John, and my routine in the off season would be I would squat first, then I would leg press, and then I would do extensions last. With John, we started switching it up.
Okay.
So we started doing heavy leg extensions, and then we went to leg press, and we were going pretty heavy on leg press. Then we squatted.
Mm.
So I was only going to use like 3 plates because my legs were exhausted. He goes, no, uh-uh. Put on 4 plates, man. You got to push it, you know.
Wow.
So then he made me go to like 4 plates after all that other stuff, even though, you know, I was only doing 5 in the off season. So
yeah.
Yeah, John trained me really hard. And when I was getting ready for the show, now I'd never won an overall, you know, before. And he told me, he goes, you're going to have to diet like you've never dieted before in your life.
Hmm.
And And then I did. I remember those words were in my head all the time when I was dieting. I remember I was bouncing at a nightclub, and it was a 4 o'clock in the morning nightclub. So I would not eat anything while I was at work.
No kidding.
And I'd come home and I'd have a glass of ice cold water. I'd be sitting at the table drinking a glass of water before I went to bed. I was starving. And I just kept thinking about what he said, you know. And then that show was like probably one of the best contests I've ever been in my life. I had like 50 people from the gym, my friends, my family, everybody showed up.
Nice.
I won my heavyweight class. I won the overall. I was like, it was the best day of my life, man. And then after the show was over, I was on stage taking pictures of my trophy. And all my friends and family came up to the edge of the stage. I'm hugging everybody. I'm kissing everybody. People baked me cookies and shit. You know, it was awesome. And John was there and he goes, remember this day, man. He goes, there'll never be another day like this again, ever. He goes, this was your first overall victory. He goes, you could win Mr. Olympia. It won't be this good. Damn. And he was right. To this day, I think that was like the most special contest I ever competed in.
Wow, that's really cool, man. It's inspirational, yeah. Too. It takes me back. It's cool to have those people in our lives that can help take us to places that we might not. But I think that's what it is, you know, with a good training partner. They take you somewhere that you didn't realize you could go.
Yeah. And if they're tough on you like those guys were, and they don't just blow smoke up your ass. And I remember I would be posing, you know, every week. I take my shirt off. They had this one part of the gym that was right by this plate glass mirror or plate glass window that was facing the sidewalk. So the light was coming in. You know, it was like that spot in Gold's Gym Venice, you know, where the light comes in.
The good light, yeah.
And I would pose. Yeah. So I would pose in front of that mirror every week. And I remember, I think it was like a week out from the show. And John looked at me and he didn't say much, you know, but he goes, yeah, you're ready, you know.
And you remember and that to this guy, day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, this guy knew what he was talking about. He was a contest winner, man. He was a national level competitor. You know, he was a guy who won everything in Illinois. He won the Midwest, the Central USA, the Illinois. And he created this. I saw him when he was a teenager, and he didn't have great genetics. You know, he built that physique through hard work and a lot of eating and a lot of heavy training. I saw him train in the gym, man. That guy was an animal. And I saw him build that body. So, you know, this guy knew what he was talking about. So when he looked at me and he told me I'm ready, I knew I was ready. And I went into that show with total confidence, man. I was so ready. I didn't care who went in it. I was ready to beat him. Cause when you do a show or you do anything in life where you prepare and you do everything you can do, you push yourself to the limit, you know, you've done everything you can do. There's no doubt in your mind when you go there that you're going to win, you know, because you've done everything. And I knew no one else in that contest trained as hard as I did. I knew nobody pushed themselves. I knew nobody was drinking a glass of water at 4 o'clock in the morning like right. I was. You know what I mean? Nobody pushed themselves. I trained for that show like it was life or death. So I knew I was going to win.
I think that's like the heart of bodybuilding right there. You know, there are people out there that ask, you know, what more can I get away with? And then there's people that ask, what more can I do? And I feel like when you can get up on stage and feel like that you've done everything possible, everything within your power, that you've overturned every stone, then that's the only way that I could feel like it's been successful personally.
Yeah. Cause you never know who's going to show up, right? Yeah. You never know what the judges are going to do. The only thing you can do is control yourself. But I'll tell you, man, I felt at that show, I almost felt like I willed those judges to put a one by my name on the judges. You know, because I wanted it so bad. They had to see that, you know, they had to see that. Yeah. And that's what you convey when you're on stage. You convey that what's inside you, you know, because you can't talk, you can't communicate verbally. So you have to communicate, you know, physically.
Yeah.
And your attitude, like Arnold's charisma, they always say that would help him win shows. I saw Zane win his Olympias. I know that he had that charisma on stage. But when you really want it, it comes across. And I've judged shows too, and I can see that. I see people on stage. And it does, you know, it does make the judges like you more or want to vote for you when you have that kind of, as long as you're physically ready too.
Yeah, you got to have that to back it up, right?
Yeah, right.
All right, John. Well, thank you very much for your time. I much appreciate it.
All right, Scott. Thank you. And keep up the great work on all your shows. You're doing a great job.
Thank you very much. Guys, for another episode of Advices Radio with John Hansen, we will see you soon.
at Vices Radio.